Chapter 15. Krishna's beauty is unsurpassed. Tan manaskash tad apalas, tad vichestas tad atmika, tad gunan evagayanto, nat magarni samashmaru. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.30.43 and Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.7.134. Those Brajagopis who had fully given their hearts to Sri Krishna would imitate his manner of speaking and his activities. Since they had offered their very souls to him and always sang his glories, they completely forgot themselves and their family interests. In the gradual development of bhakti, from nishta comes ruchi, where it becomes tasteful. From ruchi comes ashakti, where one will have no desire to leave it. Then comes bhav, and then prem, sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, and in some cases even mahabhav, where one receives the pinnacle of experience of Krishna. Possessing this mahabhav, the gopis' minds and hearts became so absorbed in Krishna that they could no longer be considered their own. If you place a piece of cotton on a few drops of water, the water is immediately absorbed in it. Similarly, the water of the gopis' hearts was completely absorbed into the Krishna cotton in such a way that it was as if their individual existences were lost. If someone is fortunate enough to receive Krishna's direct darshan, or to hear about him from a rasik Vaishnava, then they may also experience this same absorption. Singing about his virtues more and more, they at once became tadatmik. They completely forgot their own bodies, their bodily relations, their homes, everything. If we have a task to perform, but due to some obstacle we cannot complete it, we simply return home. But the gopis were searching for Krishna everywhere, asking the vines, trees, tulsi, and the deer if they had seen him. Still they could not find him anywhere. But did they return to their homes? Even though they could not find him, their homes and families had been completely forgotten. They became so absorbed in thinking of him that it was as if they were possessed by ghosts. Taking on Krishna's identity, they began imitating his activities and saying to one another, "How beautiful is my walk! How beautifully do I play the flute!" At that time, they didn't know what they were doing, and this is what is meant by tan manaskas. They became so absorbed in Krishna that their natures changed like iron put into fire, and they forgot everything. As the gopis searched for Krishna, all they remembered were his virtues and his pastimes with them. Whereas we think mostly of our material comforts and are capable of forgetting bhakti, they are just the opposite. We should endeavor to become like the eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as Madhavendra Puri, who would go days without eating or even begging, and was always absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. As our bhakti increases, we will forget more and more the demands of our bodies and our bodily relations, and this remembrance will also increase. Krishna had left the gopis, but they never thought, "Krishna is so cruel because he has left us." Otherwise, they would have given up searching for him and returned home. But they didn't do that. They continued searching for him, and they began singing in glorification of his virtues, especially his kindness. Pranata dehinam papa karshanam, china charanogam shri niketanam, fani pani arpitam te padambujam, krinu chesu na krindi hrikchayam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.31.7. O Prabhu, you are very merciful. Why are you afraid that there may be a sinful reaction if you were to place your lotus feet on our breasts? By merely remembering your name, all sins are destroyed. Pranata means that if one surrenders everything to Bhagavan, including one's false ego, then all sins are destroyed. And when all of one's sins are destroyed, then at once one receives Bhagavan's darshan. Gajendra the elephant fought with a crocodile for thousands of years, until, being partially submerged in water, he took a lotus in his trunk and held it up as an offering to Bhagavan, while silently praying, "Prabhu, now I am surrendered to you. I am not even concerned if you save me or if I perish." By the power of this surrender, all of his anartas and aparads from so many lives were destroyed, and at once Bhagavan came. He killed the crocodile with his chakra, and Gajendra was released. If someone factually surrenders to Bhagavan, then that surrender will be the destroyer of all of his faults. Are we surrendered like this? Have all of our faults and offenses been eradicated? This is the measuring stick. Most of the suffering that we are feeling and the obstacles that are arising in our bhajan are reactions to our misdeeds in previous lives. No matter where one goes, these reactions to previous karma and offenses cannot be escaped. So an intelligent man will remain in the company of sadhus who will gradually lead him to Bhagavan. The gopis pray. Pranata dehinam papak karshinam. O Govinda, you are so merciful that you destroy the sins of those who surrender to you. We are surrendered to you. So is it that because of the sins of our previous lives, you remain hidden from us and do not give us your darshan? We are crying in separation from you, and today, in this world, there is no one as unhappy as us. We have abandoned forever our homes and families, and now we are left with no other shelter besides you. So won't you destroy all of our sins? These are the inner sentiments of one gopi. There are so many different kinds of gopis with different sentiments. And another gopi is saying, "You destroy the sins of one who is surrendered. Until tonight, we have not been able to surrender, but having abandoned our homes, husbands, children, and the fear of being disgraced in society, we have come to you. So what remains for us to surrender? Now please give us your darshan, and by placing your lotus feet on our heads, give us the boon of mitigating our fear of the snake of separation from you. Those feet are eternally served by Sri Lakshmi. So are we to be deprived of the favor of serving them because we have taken birth as cowherd maidens in the village of Braj? Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures, and you are so merciful that even without any umbrella over your head or any shoes on your feet, you take those cows, who are merely ignorant animals, out to graze. So who could be as kind as you? In this way, even though they were anguished, they continued to sing the glories of Krishna's lotus feet. In the Brahmara Gita, we find the gopis deriding Krishna and accusing him of being cruel and deceptive, but still their minds never left him. Mrigaya iva kapindram vivyade labda dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-17. In Krishna's previous life, instead of killing the innocent Vali in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him from a hidden position like a hunter. And when a woman approached him with amorous desires, being a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But instead, although he was excited by her beauty, he wanted to preserve his vow to Sita, so he made her ugly by chopping off her nose and ears. He is so eager to show that he cannot be conquered by a woman, but in that instance, we can clearly see that he really had been overpowered by a woman. Even though they were accusing Krishna, could they ever stop thinking of him and speaking about anything else? In the verse we are discussing here, Tad Alpa means that the gopis sang in melodious tones the glories of Krishna's Naam, Guna, Rupa, and Leela. This is symptomatic of bhakti. In the stage of sadhana, Whenever the mind strays, it must be brought back to Bhagavan's Naam, Guna, Roop and Leela, and then it is real sadhan. There is no greater sadhan than this. Even endeavoring to push the thoughts of worldly enjoyment out of the mind is not necessary. The mind which has a tendency to ponder sense enjoyment should simply be engaged in hearing and describing Bhagavan's Naam, Guna, Rupa and Leela, and that will be all that is necessary. Doing that more and more, then eventually these topics will become fully tasteful to us. Tad Vichesta means the gopis sang of Krishna's activities, which were in relation to them. How he met with them, how he fed them tambul, how he tied bells on their ankles, how he strung garlands of flowers for them, and how when they became fatigued, he wiped the dust from their faces and bodies, and composed a bed of flowers for them to rest on. Then they became tadatmik. Both internally and externally, they began glorifying him, and they forgot their homes and even their very own selves. What to speak of returning to their homes? Remembrance of the home itself didn't even arise in their minds. Glorifying Krishna, more and more in their separation, they completely forgot all worldly concerns. Nirguna yogis don't meditate on anything. Their minds become attached to the void. They don't meditate on the Atma, on Paramatma, or on any material object either. They are nirshraya, without shelter, and are therefore prone to falling down. But devotees who follow in the footsteps of the gopis and constantly meditate on Krishna's attributes are ashraya, sheltered, and there is no possibility of them falling down. Next comes this verse. Gopyastapa kim acharyan yad amusya rupam lavanya sharam asmordavam ananya siddham drigbi pivanti anusava binevam durpam ekanta dharma yashaha shriya aishwaryasya. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.41.14 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.135. The ladies of Mathura said, which austerities did the Braja gopis perform by which they could always drink through their eyes the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the very essence of loveliness, which is unequaled or unsurpassed, which is perfect in itself and always appears new and fresh, which is extremely rare to behold, and is always the exclusive shelter of all fame, splendor, and opulence. When Krishna Chandra entered the wrestling arena with Balaram, the ladies of Mathura spoke this verse in glorification of the gopis. They said, in this assembly, a dharma is taking place, so we should not remain here. One should not remain in a place where sinful activities are being committed. When the attempt was made to disrobe Draupadi, that was also an assembly of adharma, and men of good values should not have stayed there. So why then did Grandfather Bhishma remain there? At that time, sinful reaction did not come to him because he knew well the greatness of Bhagavan and his devotees, and he remained silent so that their greatness would be shown. He could have taken a stand against the evil men who were offending Draupadi, and he was certainly capable of killing them all single-handedly. But even though Draupadi implored him to help her, he remained silent. He was a Gyani Bhakta, and he knew that if someone is surrendered to Bhagavan, then he would protect them accordingly. That was his thinking. But what were those evil men thinking? What will Bhagavan do? He has no power to stop us, so we will do as we please, and they tried to disrobe her. And what about the Pandavas? Four of them were infuriated, but Yudhisthira Maharaj remained silent. Being a Gyani Bhakta also, he knew that Krishna would protect Draupadi appropriately. But Bhim and Arjun, who had less awareness of Krishna's divinity and saw him more as a common friend in Sakyabhav, were furious. At the wrestling arena, the ladies of Mathura saw how those fearful wrestlers, whose massive bodies were like mountains and as if made of iron, wanted to kill soft and tender Krishna. They saw how Baladev's face was red with anger, and how Krishna was smiling even though he was also angry. Considering that an injustice was about to take place, they felt that it would be shameful if they remained there. There was no one present who could prevent it. Ugrasen had been imprisoned, and other elders like Akrura remained hidden. The meaning of this verse is, what austerities did the gopis perform by which they could see such a beautiful and sweet form of Sri Krishna as he freely wandered in the forests and kunjas of Braj with a happy heart? There the gopis received the darshan of lovely Rasik Krishna playing the flute and wearing a peacock feather in his crown. But in the wrestling arena, the ladies of Mathura did not see that beautiful form of Krishna. Instead, they saw him in a fighting mood. After he had broken the tusks of an elephant and was decorated with drops of blood, what is the nature of Krishna's form? Lavanya Saram Asam Ordavam. It is the very essence of loveliness, and its beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed. Ram is beautiful, Narayan is beautiful, and all other incarnations of Bhagavan are beautiful, but their beauty does not surpass or even equal Krishna's beauty. Ananyasidam. If Krishna is wearing an ornament, it becomes more beautiful, and if he removes that ornament, he becomes even more beautiful. Then if he becomes decorated with dust, he becomes even more beautiful again. In all circumstances, he is the most beautiful. There is no necessity of him wearing any ornament, such as an earring or a flower, to increase his beauty. We feel a need to increase the attractiveness of our appearance. How do we appear when we are not wearing tilak, or when we are wearing soiled clothing? But because Krishna has no necessity of trying to increase his beauty, he is Ananya Siddham. Drigbi Pibanti Anu Sava Binavam. The ladies of Mathura are saying, that beautiful form of Sri Krishna, which we have never seen, the gopis have seen in Braj. Suppose we have a desire to see someone whose appearance is very beautiful. Upon seeing their face just once, we become satisfied, and there is no need to look again. But upon seeing Krishna, one will have no desire to remove their gaze from him, because he always appears new and fresh. One will perpetually remain thirsty to drink the nectar of his appearance, and will never desire to look away. His form is the Ekanta Dharm, the exclusive shelter of fame, beauty, and opulence, as well as the three other qualities of Bhagavan, which are not mentioned in this verse. So the ladies of Mathura are saying, Aho, what austerities did the gopis perform to receive darshan of that form of Sri Krishna? We are seeing Krishna as he is angrily attacking his enemies, but they saw him as the attractor of even Cupid himself. They want to know what austerities were performed by the gopis to attain darshan of that form. But only by aspiring to serve Krishna in the mood of the gopis can this be attained. Without an intense hankering for that, it is very, very difficult. No performance of ordinary austerities can bestow the darshan of that form of Krishna which was seen by the gopis. There are so many of us who chant 1 lakh of Harinam every day, and we haven't received that darshan yet, so what to speak of others? There are many well-known austerities, but none of them can bestow this fruit. Some persons sit in the middle of fires in the hot season, and others bathe at 4 in the morning in the Jamuna in the cold season, and then return home in wet cloth, regardless of whether it is windy, raining, snowing, or whatever. But are there any austerities which, by practicing, we can attain Bhagavan? Aradito yadi harispasa tata kim. Naradito yadi Harisparsa Tata Kim. Anta Bahiradi Harisparsa Tata Kim. Nantar Baharadi Harisparsa Tata Kim. Narad Pancharatra. What is the value of austerities performed by sages like Durvasa if they haven't worshipped Bhagavan? And if they don't see Bhagavan everywhere? And if one does see Bhagavan within every living entity and everywhere outside as well, then what is the use of any other austerities besides that form of worship? Besides taking Harinam and hearing and meditating on Harigatha, there is no method to attain Krishna's darshan. The objective of tapasya is to concentrate one's mind, but catching hold of the wind is easy in comparison to subjugating the wicked mind. So how will it be accomplished? It can only be achieved by serving Vaishnavas, hearing Harikatha, loudly chanting Harinam, and meditating on Bhagavan. Because the ladies of Mathura were seeing Krishna with Prem, he appeared ever new and fresh. There were others present in that arena, such as the wrestlers, but did they see him in the same way? They were not pleased upon seeing him and instead merely became angry. Did Hiranyakashipu enjoy hearing Krishna's name, which is sweeter than sweetness itself? So the ladies of Mathura are saying that the gopis drank the ever-fresh, enchanting form of Krishna with their eyes, just as one drinks nectar with the mouth. His form is the essence of lavanya, loveliness, and it is as if he is the very embodiment of all loveliness. A lion, which is kept in a cage, does not appear very beautiful, but when it is set free in the forest, then the entirety of its beauty and power and everything are apparent. Similarly, all of Krishna's beauty and sweetness are exhibited only in the forest of Braj. He was not as beautiful in the wrestling arena, with the drops of the elephant's blood splattered on his face. In this connection, Sanatana Goswami quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. Yan martya lila paikyam sva yoga maya balam darsayata grihitam vismapanam svasya cha sobhagarade parampadam bhushanena bhusanangam. By his yogamaya potency, Bhagavan Sri Krishna appeared in this world to lead the conditioned souls back to him, and he exhibited a form which being seen would enchant them all. That form is the best of all, the ornament of all ornaments, and seeing it is the very pinnacle of good fortune. Thus ends chapter 15 of Bhakti Rasayana.